Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rob, I know I'm not the intended audience for this movie. But you know how sometimes you can just see a still picture or the trailer for a movie and you just instantly think, now this movie stinks. Have you seen that they're making a live action Clifford the Big Red Dog? That movie looks terrible. There's no shortage of kids movies out there. Like, there are certainly better movies for your children than what Clifford the Big Red Dog looks like. Now, I could very easily be wrong. Because when I first saw that Sonic picture and trailer, I thought that Sonic was going to be terrible. But I'm not going to lie to you. Sonic was a very pleasant surprise. I really enjoyed Sonic. I'm excited for the sequel to Sonic. If you haven't seen it, it's good. I thought it was fun. Clifford the Big Red Dog was really bad, bro. It looks really, really bad. Like, looks absolutely terrible. Coming up in a little bit, we will play some of Danny Duffy on Fesco in the Morning. He was on earlier today for about 25 minutes. We've cut it down to the best 10 minutes. I really want you guys to hear Duffy's sort of exit interview in Kansas City. A great job by Bob and Josh to get him on the show today. Duffy talks about being tweeted by Magic Johnson. Like, I can't imagine growing up a Lakers fan and being the level of Lakers fan that I know Danny Duffy to be. And Magic Johnson tweets about you joining your new team. Like, I can imagine that's a pretty cool feeling for him. So we'll play the best of Danny Duffy coming up in a little bit, but that is not the only thing that's happened in sports today, Rob. Let's get to the top stories.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. Well, the top non-Danny Duffy story in Kansas City is your Kansas City Chiefs. Earlier this week, former GM Mike Tannenbaum was on Get Up on ESPN. He had the gall to say this about the Cleveland Browns and Odell Beckham Jr.
He can make the difference for the AFC. He can make the one or two plays a game that could take Cleveland above Kansas City. He's Tyreek Hill. He's that dynamic. Yeah.
Carrington, do you agree with the former GM that OBJ returning to Cleveland puts them ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs?
What are we doing? Am I the only one that sees it with Cleveland? Cleveland had a negative point differential last year. Rob, do you know how hard it is to win 11 games like Cleveland did last year and get outscored? You know how hard that is? It's nearly impossible to do. It is nearly impossible to do what they did last season. You know what? Cut the music really quick. Cut the beat. Can I read to you the teams that got outscored last season? And you tell me how many of these teams you think are any good or were good last season? New England, the Jets, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Houston, Jacksonville, the Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos all got outscored. Every team in the NFC East that wasn't Washington got outscored last season. Minnesota, Detroit, Carolina, Atlanta, San Francisco. San Francisco actually had a minus 14 and Cleveland was minus 11. So they were actually very competitive, even though they were 6-10 last year. What are we doing with Cleveland? You know what? I made a list. I made my own list, Rob. A mini list. You know what this list is? Four teams that need to prove it on the field. And the four teams that need to prove it to me on the field are Cleveland, the Rams, or excuse me, not the Rams, the Chargers. Cleveland, the Chargers, Dallas, and San Francisco. Cleveland is getting all this talk like they're Buffalo, like they're Kansas City, like they're Green Bay, like they're Tampa Bay, with nothing to really show for it. When did we start rolling out the red carpet for teams that win wild card games? When did we start doing that? You want to know who else won a wild card game last year? Lamar Jackson. I don't hear the Ravens being talked about in this capacity for winning one game in the playoffs. This Browns thing is gone. Now they're the Chiefs. Now Odell Beckham puts them over the top, and now they're the Chiefs. Cleveland, the Chargers, Dallas, and San Francisco. Those are my shut up and go prove it on the field four.
Two.
Well, for the last five seasons in the National Football League, a team that was in the playoffs the previous season had a losing record. That doesn't mean 8-8. That means 7-9 or worse, which means that history tells it's going to happen again in 2021, 2022. Carrington, if you had to look in your crystal ball, what teams that were losing teams last year are going to be playoff teams this upcoming season?
Let me just go against everything I just said in the last hit. The two most likely teams are the Chargers and the Cowboys. The two most likely teams who had losing records last year to make the playoffs this year are the Chargers and the Cowboys. Those are the two most likely teams. There's not that many options in the AFC because of how good it was last year. You got to think. I mean, last year, winning double-digit games didn't even ensure you would make an expanded playoffs. Miami won double-digit games and missed the playoffs last year. The AFC was actually pretty competitive at the top, but the bad teams were just bad last year. And I think the Chargers are certainly better than the dregs of the league. It's a lot of possible options in the NFC. I'll just pick the Cowboys because I think their path is easier. I think the best non-playoff team from last year is, oddly enough, another team that's on this list in San Francisco as the best non-playoff team. A team I do want to throw out there, Rob, is one to pay attention to, Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, really strong running game, made a massive upgrade in their passing attack with Marvin Jones this year. Good offensive line, made a lot of moves on the defense via free agency. And now in a division in which we think Indianapolis is coming back to the pack, Houston looks number one overall pick ready. Like, the commissioner should just go ahead and announce that Houston is on the clock. They're getting the number one overall pick. And you keep telling me the other shoe's going to drop with Tennessee. You've been waiting on that other shoe to drop for them for 39 games. You've been waiting for it to drop with Tennessee, and it still hasn't dropped yet. One of these days, you'll get it right.
Three.
Well, earlier today, we had Derek Young of K-State Online, which is the Kansas State Rivals site. And he was discussing what's next for Kansas State as the realignment wheel continues to spin. And right, wrong, or indifferent, this show has featured mostly what will happen next for Kansas. But Carrington, what do you believe will happen next as the realignment wheel begins to spin again for the Wildcats of Manhattan?
I think the best possible scenario for K-State would be if the Pac-12 decides that they want to be a super conference. They decide that they want to be in the central time zone and they want to take that over. Right now, they're in the Pacific time zone. They have Colorado, and I think Utah's in the Mountain time zone, but I could be wrong. And let's add a couple of teams in the Central time zone, and let's create a division that has Utah, Colorado, K-State, Oklahoma State. We can keep those teams kind of together. We can sort of cut the geography in half. We can cut down on some of the travel. Like, some of the travel would be, how are we going to get from Los Angeles to Manhattan? What I would probably do in this scenario, Rob, would be, let's say you have 9 teams on each side. So let's say that the Pac-12 went to an 18-team conference. You have 9 on one side, 9 in the other. You do a round robin where every team plays every team, and then you have one cross-divisional game where every year K-State plays one of those teams that's on the West Coast. They'll travel to UCLA or to USC, and they do it that way. That's not the worst plan in the world if you're the Pac-12 and if you're really thinking about expanding. If they don't go to the Pac-12 or that's not part of the Pac-12's plan or their future, I do think it's going to be really tough to land in either the Pac-12, SEC, Big Ten, or ACC. The best possible outcome would either be staying together and hoping that you can maybe grab another team, grab a Cincinnati, grab a Houston, or potentially merging with the AAC and doing the same thing that I just suggested with the Pac-12, but just on a much lower scale with the American Athletic Conference. I don't think the American is a bad conference. It's not a premier conference, but if you look at the programs and the names and the history, that's not a bad conference by any means, but it's certainly a step down from the seat that K-State has had for the last, 50 years, being in the Big 8 and Big 12. So it certainly is a step down from doing just that. Rob, we done with the hits? All right, I appreciate it. Coming up in a little bit, I'll play what Danny Duffy had to say earlier today on Fesco in the Morning. I really want you guys to hear it. I was thinking this as I was listening to the entirety of the interview earlier today on Fesco in the Morning. I don't know if there is a player that potentially embodies more of Dayton Moore's qualities more than Danny Duffy. And what I mean is I think Dayton is an incredibly loyal individual. He's one of those, once you're his friend, you're a friend for life type individuals. I don't know if there's a player who has shown more loyalty during the Dayton Moore era than Danny Duffy has. You can make an argument for Billy Butler, but for the most part, Duffy has been 100% in with this team for about a decade. Danny Duffy was screaming, "Bury me a Royal," and his desire to play his entire career here in Kansas City back when it wasn't cool to say that from a player perspective. Back in 2011, 2012, early part of 2013, before this thing really got rocking and turned things around, Duffy was endearing himself to the community. He was doing community outreach. He was doing a lot of this stuff before it was trendy and hip to do it in relation to the Royals. I think that's who Dayton Moore is. Dayton had the vision far before anybody else saw the vision or had the vision when it came to the Royals eventually being good in 14 and 15. I think that Dayton Moore has shown extreme patience. I think that's one of his best personal traits is the amount of patience that he's shown. Mike Moustakas maybe doesn't work out in a different situation. Let's say that Mike Moustakas was drafted by the Boston Red Sox or the New York Mets. Mike Moustakas might have flamed out. It was looking bad for Mike Moustakas. You remember Moose was having a tough time with the Kansas City media when he was struggling. Imagine what that would have been like in a two newspaper town, sports talk how it is in New York. It would not have been good for Mike Moustakas. But I think Dayton showed incredible patience, allowed Moose to work through it. Moose eventually turned into an all-star. Moose got paid. That patience has paid itself out when it comes to Dayton Moore and his handling and dealings with people. He's shown Danny Duffy a lot of patience over the last decade. There was a time in which Danny Duffy was unsure if he was going to play baseball or not. There was a time in which Duffy was unsure about he was going to be a professional baseball player. He stepped away from the game. Dayton gave him the freedom to do so. When he came back ready to play, they embraced him with open arms, and we know eventually what happened. He got to the major leagues. Duffy got in some off-the-field issues a couple of years ago. Dayton was right there with him, helping him get through it. He's shown a lot of humanity in professional sports, and I think we see more and more that that's not really how professional sports or any major business really runs in its relation to its employees. I also think that Duffy is always going to hold a very special place in Kansas City's heart is because he's a champion. He's linked to some of the greatest memories that some of us have ever had. 14 and 15 for a lot of Kansas Cityans was the highlight of their life. Sure, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, but it was very different when the Royals finally broke through. It felt much more of a community effort, a team effort. To me, when the Chiefs finally won, it was more about the celebration of Patrick Mahomes. And, oh my goodness, we have this player that can get us back here multiple times. That's not how we treated the Royals. We realized what we were watching in the midst of it, how special it was and how unique it was. And how finite it was going to be. The Royals were not going to do that for the next 15 years the way we feel the Chiefs could. They were going to do it for like the next 15 months. That's kind of what happened with the Royals. Duffy's forever linked to that. So I think the relationship that Kansas City has with him is going to be very different. But I also think he embodies some of the negatives of Dayton Moore as well. That's why I think he is the prototypical Dayton Moore player. There was a time in which Jeff Passan told me he thought that Danny Duffy could be one of the five best left-handed starting pitchers in baseball. He never became that. Some of that's injury, some of it's bad luck, some of it's Royals player development, but there have been fewer starting pitchers in which Dayton Moore has put more resources in than Danny Duffy. He gave him the contract. He has done a lot for Danny Duffy. I don't know if the return was maybe worth the investment of which they've put in. And if we're being honest, the last 5 years of Royals baseball, for the most part, has sort of been grounded in getting away from bad contracts. Danny Duffy's contract has not been great for the Royals. Alex Gordon's contract, not great for the Royals. Ian Kennedy's contract, not great for the Royals. Now we're moving forward, and they basically have all team-friendly deals. The only deal you maybe could quote-unquote call bad would be Salvador Perez's deal, but he's certainly playing up to the level. But every other deal they have is super team-friendly. Witt, Hunter Dozier, any pitcher, they do not have a bad contract on the books. One path to this organization getting back to where they were was getting some of those bad contracts off the books. So I think Danny Duffy should be celebrated. I think he was a great member of this community, and at some point Duffy is going to come back to Kansas City and he will get all the praise that I think he deserves. He's a hero. He's a champion. He is a part of the greatest era of Royals baseball. But he also represents some of the challenges that the Royals have faced over the last 5 years in trying to get back to being a competitive organization. He was on Fesco in the Morning earlier today and had a really, really good interview. We've cut it down for you guys. The conversation with Danny Duffy starts with how starstruck he was that he got tweeted by Magic Johnson.
That was a trip, I have to say. It takes a lot for me to get, like, starstruck. I think it's really only been with Derek Jeter and Pat Mahomes, or Patrick, forgive me. And it was really a surreal moment reading that tweet for sure. My buddy actually sent it to me, and I was tripping out.
So wait a second, you got starstruck seeing Patrick Mahomes and meeting him?
Of course, man. Of course, yeah. The guy, you know, I mean, he's good at everything. He's a great guy. He's, you know, everything Kansas City is, and that whole city's on fire about him. The whole dang country's on fire about him. So yeah, man, I got a lot of respect for that dude, and I didn't know what to say. I know Travis somewhat well, and I consider him, you know, a friend. And me and him were talking, and here comes Patrick walking into the clubhouse, and I was like, play it cool, play it cool. Shook his hand, and I think I said something along the lines of just like a bland, like, nice to meet you, man, or something like that. But really, I wanted to congratulate him on everything he's doing, and thank him for, you know, firing up the city the way he has. You know, I hadn't seen anything like that since, you know, Haas. And, I think it's really cool what he's doing, and the fact that he's been able to keep it together and be professional and be, you know, everything everyone says he is really impressive, especially at his age.
Danny Duffy joining us from California as the now new member of the Dodgers. The trade deadline week comes, and there's always rumors, and I don't know if this year was any different for you in that regard, but kind of describe your kind of feelings as that week's going on, how you try to tune out any noise if there is any, and then ultimately maybe how they approached you on making this move.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, due to the fact that I had 10-5 rights. It was very different. Normally 2 weeks leading up to the trade deadline, I'm kind of sweating it a lot more. Obviously, you know, envisioned my career beginning and ending with Kansas City. And, this time around, I had the right to ensure that. And, I was approached by the team probably 2 weeks prior to this all going down. And, it was the 10-5 rights is kind of a gift and a curse when you really want to stay somewhere, but you know what's best for the organization. And, they also know what's best for me in that same right. But they asked me, and, you know, I preferred to come out west to whatever that looked like. There's a lot of teams out here, and this was, you know, my number one destination. And, Dayton really did right by me. And I like to think that, that was probably most grown up conversation I've ever had. And it was with a guy who I respect and care for very much. So it was actually, you know, a lot more bland than I thought it would have been. And, you know, not as emotional outside of, you know, saying goodbye to my boys. But it was, you know, it was just one of those things, man. It happens in this game. And hopefully one day, you know, I'll be able to come back and to whatever capacity, you know, be a part of that again in Kansas City, whether it be a fan or a dude or a, you know, friend or whatever, a player. But a weird day, to answer your question, in the absolute longest way I possibly could have.
You said better for the organization. It felt to me like you were at peace with this, like you were kind of ready maybe to move on. And it seems like the organization is ready to take obviously another step forward and in their direction. Why do you think it was better for the organization?
I think, you know, I don't know what the terms of the player to be named later is, but I think it has to do with how often I'm playing when I get back. And I really hope that, you know, they get somebody who could help them long term. You know, I'm a little more long in the tooth now. And to be honest with you, Bob, I was not ready to move on. I don't want to say that, you know, but, you know, now I'm prepared and now I'm ready to do my part for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But in the moment, you know, and as it stood then, I didn't put that in motion and I never would have. So, you know, I'm ready to ball out for these guys. Absolutely. But back before this, I didn't start that engine. So, it's crazy, man. It really is.
When I mention Royals, especially, you know, 14 and 15, what are the things that first come to your mind?
Grinders, just a bunch of grinders, man. And absolute, just insane amounts of fun. Felt like we were going to win every day. And, you know, for a while there, we damn near did, you know, winning 8 in a row out of the jump in the playoffs in 14. But yeah, I would say just pure fun. I mean, I've never had that much fun in my life. And I'm excited to be in a position to do that again. It's going to be cool.
But like from all of us who have like recent memories right now, like you were part of the best, and it won't ever be any better, because for a lot of us, you never forget your first, Danny, you know, you never forget your first. And that was the first time that this city for most of us had ever experienced a winner. And you were part of that. I mean, you're going to go down as part of the best that ever happened in Kansas City.
Yeah. It's crazy to wrap your mind around that. Huh? And, you know, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that, you know, we'll get to come back every 10 years or so as older dudes and, you know, have our families with us and, you know, have that reunion, and we'll always share that. So it's awesome. And I think you're going to see, you know, another wave of dudes just like us coming through. A lot of them are already there. And I mean, Bobby Witt is the future, man. Bobby Witt Jr. is the absolute future. It's going to be fun to watch for you guys, man. And I'll be watching too, no matter where I'm at. And yeah, always pulling for the boys in blue for sure.
Yeah. You can give some great perspective on what's coming. And
yeah,
did that give you a little piece as well, that there's a lot there that can pick up maybe the legacy that you guys set?
Oh yeah, man. They're going to write their own story. You know, I have full confidence that, you know, Bobby Witt is going to be a star among a lot of other dudes that are tearing it up in the minor leagues right now. I mean, you know, if I named them all, I'd be here all day. And you know, it has that. I think when we really realized that we were good, like really good, that we had a chance to be really good with Northwest Arkansas, 2010, I think we were like 94-58, including the playoffs. And you're starting to see that. And I think dudes that are down in the minor leagues right now are starting to get that kind of confidence and that swagger and that belief that they're like, you know, that it's almost like foolish enough to think that you could dominate in the big leagues. And that's where they're going. And it's going to be awesome.
You know, you mentioned a lot of the position players, but you obviously got a chance to see some of these young pitchers too, up front and close and personal. How good do these guys have the ability to be once they get up to KC?
Sky's the limit, man. I'm telling you. I mean, dudes like Coar and Lynchy and Singer, you're already seeing it, and it's gosh, the kid they just drafted, the lefty, I'm going to butcher his name, but I'm not even going to say it, Lacey. You know, there's a lot on the way, man. I haven't obviously seen the first rounder from this year, but everything I've heard, he's just off the charts, man. No hitter for 28 innings. I don't care what level you're at. Like, that's ridiculous, dude. So, yeah, a lot of dudes on the way, and they're going to be really good. Don't sleep on Prado, too, man. That's my boy. So it's going to be fun. You guys are going to have a great time with that, and I'll be pulling for you guys, pulling for them from afar. Gosh, I can't get it out of my mouth.
All right, besides the bear suit, besides being like locked in the bullpen bathroom during the Houston comeback and all that kind of stuff, what do you look back at as your best moment, your favorite moment from Kansas City? Maybe it's not even the World Series parade. Maybe there's something else that you just like grasp your arms around and say, man, that was the best, man. I'll never forget that moment.
Oh, man. You know what, man? When I quit baseball, I came back in June and I went to AA to the end of the year. And, you know, I was full set on being retired, you know, when I left. And we won the Texas League Championship. And I feel this like gigantic bear paw on my back in the clubhouse, just slapping the hell out of my back. And I turned around and it was Hawes. He said something to the effect of, hey, Duff, glad you came back. First of many, my guy, or something along those lines. And he was right. You know, I mean, we ended up winning. I got 7 minor league rings somehow. I mean, it kind of speaks to how many times I drove up and down the I-29 to Omaha being an option. But, you know, I mean, gosh, low A, double A, triple A, triple A, triple A. So 5 of them, you know, and, you know, an AL ring and a World Series ring. And so we won at every level. And he was right, man. I think that was probably my favorite memory, though. Just the gratification of knowing I made the right decision to come back, not because we won, but because of who we had around us and the love that was in that clubhouse.
Danny, one of the things that you, I think, did better than anybody else in Kansas City on either side of the parking lot, for that matter, is you were like a fan, man. You embraced everything just as much as the fans did. I think you wore all the emotions, obviously, like fans did. And then you top it all off by wearing Yo's jersey this past season, you know, or this season, you know, with the Royals. And I think that really resonated with a lot of fans. I don't know if it's how you were able to adapt and become a Royals fan throughout all this, but you did. You became like one of us. And I think that's really why people appreciated you. How did you get to that point where you're like, yeah, this is me, this is what I'm gonna do, man? A kid from Cali's now living in the Midwest, and I'm a Royals fan.
I appreciate that, man. You know, I think it's just something that I've always done. Is anytime I decide I'm gonna do something, I'll put my heart and soul into everything. And whether it be a friendship or a, you know, any kind of relationship or you know, my job or my work, my workouts, whatever. I think, you know, you gotta dump every ounce of your soul into what you are doing, or else you're not going to get everything out of it. I love Kansas City, and for multiple reasons. One, it's really, I mean, this is a really obscure way of putting it, but it's like a metropolitan version of my hometown. And I say that being, you know, you walk around and somebody asks you how you're doing and they wait to hear your answer. Like, they genuinely want to know. And that's very rare. And I just think the people out there are just different, and I love them for it. I think everybody's just so much more careful and thankful, and just every positive adjective you could use. I just absolutely love it, and it means a lot to me.
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of the things that not just you, but that entire generation of Royals players understood and really grasped better than anybody I've ever seen, was how important it was to be involved in this community. And I don't know if that was something you guys planned, if it was something Dayton wanted you guys to do, but you guys all jumped in feet first into this community. And I think that's not only the winning, obviously, but the fact that I feel like when you guys won, everybody felt like they knew you guys personally. And there's something to be said for that just doesn't happen a lot of times in sports. Everybody felt like they had a personal relationship with everybody on that roster.
That's really awesome to hear. I felt it too. I think Kansas City provides an environment to where you can be yourself and not get burnt for it when something bad happens, right? I've had my off the field stuff, and, you know, I did take some beatings for it, but 99% of the interactions were supportive. And I'm better for it. And you're not going to see that anywhere else. You're just not. People seeing the human side of it, people seeing the human side of everyone's flaws, you're just not going to see that anywhere else. So I feel like we all felt pretty comfortable in our own skin out there, and it speaks to the way people treat you. And it's very rare. And when you find it, you got to hold on to it.
And I don't care what's going on. Don't let anybody lock you in the bathroom this postseason. Like, I want you to experience the entire thing.
I'm doing everything you do is for the boys, man. So if they tell you got to do something, you got to do it. There's some dogs here in this clubhouse. And if they tell me to hop on 1 foot, I'm asking how high. So, you know, we'll do what we got to do, bro.
Well, you always have a home here in Kansas City. You know that. I think I speak for everybody in Kansas City that's a Royals fan. We love you, man. We're all rooting for you.
I love you guys back, man. Thank you, Bob. And always, like I said, I'll be in your inbox from time to time. We'll be talking for sure. Thank you guys so much.
Really good stuff earlier today by Bob Fesco and Josh Klingler in their conversation with Danny Duffy. I wanted to play that for you guys on your drive home. I got a lot of respect for Danny Duffy on a personal and a professional level. I consider him to be a friend. I also consider him to be a friend of the show. Congrats to him on moving to the next phase of his life, and hopefully he and the Los Angeles Dodgers have the opportunity to play in some really important games this season. Something tells me with that roster, he will have that chance. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive. You're listening on 610 Sports Radio and the brand new Odyssey app.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
We'll get back to sports coming up in just a little bit. Rob, have you seen the trailer for American Story on the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton scandal? So if you guys aren't aware, FX is now on their third show of this series. The first one was about the O.J. Simpson trial. The second one was about the murder of Versace, if I'm not mistaken. And this one is about the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal. I'm going to suggest another one for them to do. Why has there not been a really good documentary movie on the DC sniper? I've always wondered this. Every time I turn on Netflix, they do another one about Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy has like 5 Netflix documentaries. Some of the resources we spent on Ted Bundy, we can move and do something really good on the DC sniper. That would be a really good 10-episode show on FX or Netflix if they want to have this free idea that I'm giving out right here on the radio. The DC Sniper would be a really good movie. Rob, I don't know why I'm not a television executive, man. I give these people ideas on the show all the time, and they never listen to me. They never, ever do the shows that I tell them they should do. But that's the show that I'm going to suggest.
Can you really make that Sniper show 10 episodes? Like, was there enough that went down for 10 episodes?
I'm going to guess so. I mean, they're about to do this on Monica Lewinsky. I feel like the nuts and bolts of it, we all understand.
Yeah, but there were trials, there were hearings, there were...
You want to see 10 episodes about that? We know what happened.
We saw 10 episodes about one trial, and people gobbled it up.
I mean, not the greatest the trial of our lifetime. That's a little bit different.
Casey Anthony is the correct answer for what we need.
Casey Anthony would be a strong one.
That's what we need. We need Casey Anthony.
Casey Anthony would be a strong one. There's a documentary on Netflix. I don't know if I've told this story or not, or told you guys to watch it. Oh, story's not the right word. Have you seen Night Stalker on Netflix?
No, you told me about it, though.
It's this crime that happened in Los Angeles in the late 80s, early 90s. Maybe I got my time off just a little bit. If you're into, like, crime murder documentaries, Night Stalker. Highly recommend Night Stalker. I didn't like the Hotel Cecil one. Have you seen the Hotel Cecil one?
No, because you told me not to watch it.
Yeah,
you
don't watch
not
the
good.
Hotel Cecil one, bro. The Hotel Cecil one. See, what I think is kind of, this is like a good and bad part about Netflix. I do like that they don't try to squeeze a lot of stuff into like 2 hours. You know, sometimes you watch a doc and they feel like they rush through things and you're thinking this just would have been better if you had made this a little bit longer. Hotel Cecil was one of those where it probably should have been 2 episodes, but it's Netflix, so they don't do anything in 2 episodes, so they have to do the mandatory 4. The second and third episode of that Hotel Cecil is an absolute waste of everybody's time. If you're interested in the story, watch the first one, watch the second one, and then read the rest. Or watch the first one, watch the fourth one, and then read about the rest of it, and you'll be fine. Rob, you watch a lot of television. While we're talking about this before we move on to sports, give people a television recommendation right now.
Ooh, television. You know what? I finished Succession on HBO Max. It is absolutely phenomenal. It's like Billions, but better. It's done by the same people that did The Big Short, but it's a political, money-driven family drama. It's fantastic. Watch Succession.
Someone said, what about a show about Pokemon Go and people that stumbled across crime scenes? I've never even thought about that before, but that sounds like an incredible show. Have you heard of this show, Dr. Death on Peacock? Have you heard of this show? I've seen the ads for it, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I've seen ads. I have not watched it. That's the Alec Baldwin one or whatever, right? I just haven't watched it. I don't know anything about it other than the commercials.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it. I've seen the advertisement for it. Now, I will say that I did get, I don't know if finesse is the right term, but I did give NBC my $5 so I could watch the Olympics. Like, I don't know why I did that. The Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart show with them going through the Olympic highlights is worth the $5 by itself. Like, everything else you get for the month is just gravy when it comes to that. I do get original Law & Order. Hulu has the old school, or Hulu has Law & Order SVU. Peacock has old school SVU. I'm talking like Lenny Briscoe, Jack McCoy as Law & Order. I mean, that's worth $5 too.
I'm going to say, of all people to spend $5 on that, I know you are happy about that development.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know why every single episode of original Law & Order is not available on a streaming service. Peacock only has like 7 seasons. There's like 27 seasons of it. I don't know why Peacock just can't give us the entire thing. Put all of SVU, all of original Law & Order onto a streaming service and tell me what it costs.
I mean, you figure the Law & Order is on NBC, right? I don't understand why it's not all available on Peacock.
I don't know, man.
I mean, if there's a show on Disney, it's all on Disney Plus. That's what they've done. They've taken all their shows and they've hoarded them.
I have absolutely no clue, man. I have absolutely no clue why this has happened. Absolutely no clue. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, also the brand new Odyssey app. I was thinking this as we have gotten, I don't know if we're in the weeds when it comes to training camp, but we're certainly still in the, it's new, we're not ready to speed past it and just let's get to the season, right? It's been a really interesting on the buzz on certain players and the lack of buzz on other players. Like right now, Trey Smith, there is no player in which the hype machine is turning more than their starting right guard. And I think it's for pretty good reason that the hype machine is going. We're talking about a player who is a sixth round draft pick who could potentially be a day one starter for you. That is not a common thing in the NFL. In fact, that's a pretty rare thing in the NFL. If Trey Smith starts week one against the Cleveland Browns, that's not something that happens. Like, if we go through the NFL draft this past year and then look at fifth, sixth, seventh round guys who were selected, you ain't finding 15 or 20 starters out of that group. You're finding like eight starters among the 32 teams in the NFL. So the fact that Trey Smith, in a very limited sample, has been able to move up the depth chart and grab one of the starting spots is pretty remarkable. And I think he's going to end up being exactly what this team needs. I think Brett Veach does a really good job in individual offseasons of identifying what the Chiefs need most. You remember back in 2018, heading into the 2019 season, when they needed to completely renovate their defense and simply one offseason, the thing that they needed most was attitude and toughness. His first move was Tyrann Mathieu right before the NFL draft. They make the trade for Frank Clark. Guys who could be alpha dogs, guys who could be the leaders, guys that have a special and unique personality about them. I think that this offensive line needed a little bit of toughness, a little bit of I'll punch you in the mouth type attitude. And that's exactly the kind of attitude that I think they have from Trey Smith.
It's just why I play the game. I mean, I love beating people up, man. I love just like knocking someone down, rolling over them, you know, just talking in their head after the play's over with. But it's just sort of my personality. If you know me, I'm sort of a goon, but I just really enjoy the violence aspect of playing football.
I don't know if the Chiefs had that player on their offensive line. I think their offensive line is extremely talented, but I don't know if they had that dog per se when it comes to their offensive line. They certainly didn't have it last year as the injuries sort of really took this team away. When you think about it, run blocking is a lot of attitude and meanness up front. You got to simply want it more than the other guy. Like, you got to have the ability for your five guys to push back their five guys and to dominate them 20, 25, 30 times over the course of an evening. The only time I felt like the Chiefs really did that last year was against Buffalo. Maybe you could argue they did that against Houston in week one, and they certainly ran the ball effectively. But there weren't many games where you felt like the Chiefs came out here and just up front really beat up the other team. And I would say that on the offensive and defensive line, they just didn't really have that kind of mindset up front last year. You go pick up a guy like Jaron Reed, who I think fits the bill on the defensive end. On the offensive side, I think Orlando Brown has some of that personality. Trey Smith certainly has that personality. That's what this team needed really more than anything, I thought, was just they needed to infuse a little bit more nastiness onto this team, and I think they got it. So I think Trey Smith has got a lot of buzz, deservedly so. Mecole Hardman has had a really good camp so far. Willie Gay Jr. left with an injury today, seems very minor. He's got a lot of buzz and attention. You talk about that nastiness and that sort of attitude that I think you need. You certainly need it on the defensive line. One player that I want to hear a little bit more from as this team is in St. Joe is Taco Charlton. He met with the media today. Here's what Taco had to say.
Coach, you know, they just had that faith in me. They want to push me. They want to see me. They want to see me win. Want to see me succeed. And, you know, it's time. You know, they pulled me to the side and to get a chance to just talk to me one on one about different things. So, just having that that feel when a coach has your back is definitely a plus. And then just that comfortability going into year two in the same scheme and having a whole offseason basically to really break down the mental, because I can't really do much physical. I just try to, you know, focus more on the mental aspect of what I could do and try to push that along.
Rob, have you heard anything about Taco Charlton so far this training camp? Like, I haven't heard anything. I haven't read anything. I don't feel like people have been snipping clips of Taco Charlton. Like, he's sort of been out of sight and out of mind. Maybe this is just who Taco is. He's just going to be a rotational piece for this team. But if you want to talk about sort of weaknesses and where I think this team can improve from last season, they were one of the worst teams in the red zone last year defensively. A lot of that is push up front. A lot of that is your defensive line. This team didn't really spend a lot of resources on their other weaknesses other than offensive line. The Chiefs have taken the stance, and I get why they've taken that stance. Hey, we're good. We're the best team in the NFL. The reason we didn't win the Super Bowl last year was mainly because of our offensive line. We are going to invest 85% of our offseason resources in solidifying that and fixing that problem. And the rest of the stuff, sure, we maybe aren't perfect in certain areas, but we've got good enough quarterback play, good enough offense. We'll be able to overcome it. I certainly would have liked for this team to spend a little bit more resources on their defensive line, spend a little bit more resources on pass rush, but we sort of are where we are. At this point, you're not getting another pass rusher. There isn't one that's available. That's just not one of those positions where there's a lot of capable pass rushers that are just sitting around at home as we are starting training camp. Taco Charlton being a guy who you think can develop, be a part of this rotation on the defensive line, be a guy who could get you between 3 to 5 sacks would be a big plus for this team. Wharton's been a guy. We talk about buzz over the last couple of days. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot more buzz for Wharton here over the last week or so when it comes to training camp.
I was about to say, the only linemen I've seen buzz for are Chris Jones, because he's going against this totally revamped offensive line, and in one-on-one drills he against Tooney or Orlando Brown all the time, and Tershawn Wharton is getting a lot of buzz. Outside of those two, D linemen are getting no buzz. That includes Frank Clark, Colin Saunders, Mike Dana, Taco Charlton. No one knows where Joshua Kando is because I haven't heard anything about him up at camp. It's been kind of buzzless on the defensive line.
No, it certainly has been. That's a really, really good point when it comes to the defensive line. We'll see what happens tomorrow as the Chiefs continue their efforts in St. Joe. We're off for the day. Take care of yourself. Have a great evening. We'll be back again tomorrow at the same time. Keep it locked in right here at 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.